We'll start here on the Morning After podcast with some theme music from the last Star Wars movie, which was what, Justin?
Rogue One was technically the
last
one.
All right, good, good. Not technically, it was. We're going to talk some Star Wars here. That'll be the big discussion topic in the middle of this podcast. Let me, again, welcome you in. It's Eric Chase, The Morning After. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 with Demetrius and Philip and many more here on Q105. What's your last name, Justin?
Camuso.
It's tough. Justin Camuso, we can do that. And I decided that we're not going to say where you work in case there's anything objectionable that you would lose your job. Justin is deeply involved in the arts community in Toledo.
Wink, wink.
That really narrows it down for him, then.
We have a thriving arts... You know what? I know I always like to say we got the zoo, we got hot dogs and Mexican restaurants, but we have a really nice... We have a really good and thriving and growing arts community.
That we do.
And also, Vinny the Asian... Live from live from his little teeny tiny apartment in downtown Columbus. What's like the neighborhood that you live in?
I live downtown Columbus, legit downtown, like proper.
Does it have a nickname like Old West End or anything like that?
No, it's just straight up downtown. Okay. Now all the surrounding neighborhoods have nicknames. To give you an example, so maybe the neighborhood south of me is German Village. It's literally two blocks. And, like, another two blocks away is the Arena District, or, you know, for you millennials familiar with Columbus, Short North neighborhood. So I'm right in the middle of all of them. I'm legit downtown.
Okay. We did this one time a couple of weeks ago. We talked a lot of things, Thor and lots of other Marvel stuff. We decided to get together again, and the rundown's going to look like this. We're going to get to Star Wars, which comes out on the 15th, which maybe by the time you've seen by the time you've listened to this, you've seen it or it's been out already. So we'll get to that. Ready Player One. That's all you, Justin, and maybe you, Vinny, because I don't know it.
I read the book twice.
Okay. Jurassic Park, Lost World, Fallen Kingdom, its trailer is out. We'll get to that. We'll also get to a big, big purchase, which is probably going to change everybody's life in one way or another, and your money within the next 5 years or so. It is a giant conglomerate, and it's going to take a lot of our money, and there's going to be billions, and it affects nerd things. So we'll get to that second. But first, I wanted to start, and you guys seemingly were okay with it. There is a Venom movie that is actually coming out, I believe, next November. It's long been kicked around and rumored by Sony, who owns the rights to Spider-Man, because, long story, very, very short, Marvel, once upon a time, I think in the 90s, was very broke and sold off a lot of their properties, which we'll come back to shortly with this big Disney purchase. And one of those properties they sold off and probably got a lot of money from Sony was Spider-Man and all the spider things that came with it, including the villains. Obviously, Marvel made in partnership with Sony the last movie that just came out with Tom Holland. And now Sony's continuing on with more in the Spider-Verse, and it'll be Venom, which... If you ask the average person, guys, who would you say is, like, Spider-Man's arch nemesis? Justin?
Average person? I mean, if they saw the first original movie, they would say the Green Goblin. But most would probably say Venom, just because Venom, pop culture-wise, kind of took over in the 90s. Like, he was everywhere.
Vinny, who would you say, like, if you stopped somebody in the Short North, if you stopped a millennial... And you ask them who Spider-Man's, like, arch nemesis is. Like, Batman's got the Joker. Superman has Lex Luthor. Thor has Loki. Who does Spider-Man have?
Oh, Green Goblin, hand down. And I think anyone of any age group would say that. I mean, Justin, you say Venom. But honestly, Venom hasn't been his arch nemesis since 1993, which we'll discuss that, too.
I mean, Venom's more of an anti-hero now, anyway.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, Sony's going to work this Venom movie, and I think with places like Fox having made Deadpool movies and other things experimented with, and instead of, like, your core group of superheroes, Avengers, Captain America, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, other adventures and successes, maybe mainly Deadpool, and the success of Logan earlier this year has allowed other movie companies to spread out and take a shot at things. And I don't want to talk about this a whole bunch. We'll get to it at another point in time. The New Mutants, which is going to be a Fox movie, which is an X-verse thing. I think Maisie Williams is in that?
Yes. Maisie Williams and who was the girl that was in Split?
I love her. I love her. She's a great actress. So they're doing a New Mutants movie, but it's being pinned as a horror movie. And Vinny, you mentioned that Ant-Man is going to be what? The Ant-Man sequel is what?
The Ant-Man and Wasp sequel that's coming out, I believe, next year is, Words on the Street, is going to be a romantic comedy.
So it's movie genres masked with superheroes.
Exactly.
And we'll see the direction that Sony eventually and ultimately takes with this Venom movie, but they hit it out of the park by being able to nab one of my man crushes, Tom Hardy, as the titular character. And I've always struggled to think that these movies would be successful outside of the main superheroes and villains aside, because people just don't know them enough. But when you attach someone like a Tom Hardy, who is an award-winning actor, and is more talented than almost anybody in Hollywood, and takes really challenging roles, you know, it gives it some credit, it gives it a lot of integrity, it gives it some credence and credibility, and it perks people up, because the average person might not know who Venom is. So that immediately drew me to it, and I don't necessarily like trailers. Like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I like the first trailer, and then everything that leaks out after that, it's like, it's fine. I like, you know, leaked set photos and rumors and things like that. And one of the first rumors was that this movie will be based around the Lethal Protector storyline from 1993. Vinny, you want to fill anybody in on that, or do you want me to go with it?
So Lethal Protector was Venom's first solo outing in the comic books. So what led up to Venom going from Spider-Man's arch nemesis to anti-hero is they made a deal because Spider-Man saved Eddie Brock, Venom's girlfriend at the time. So they made a deal and said, all right, you stop doing criminal activities, Venom, and I'll leave you alone. So Venom goes off to San Francisco, where, of course, trouble follows him there. And
right.
I believe one of his old victims stalked him there. It's been years since I've read it, so I just kind of read a synopsis earlier today, just kind of get myself up to speed on it. And some more alien symbiotes are in San Francisco also.
Right.
And
And apparently
that's kind of the...
Justin, you mentioned he's an anti-hero. Can you give us... You want to do the background on Venom real quick?
That's all you guys.
Really?
I like Venom, but...
Okay.
This is more your guys' ballgame.
All right, so if you go back to the really lousy Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, the quick version of this is that was accurate to the backstory of Venom. There's a symbiote that comes back from a space trip to Earth. It clings to Peter Parker. He changes personality. He gets a black costume. And then eventually he realizes it's an alien. He's got to get rid of it. And the only thing that makes the alien go away is loud noises. So while the movie was bad, it was mostly pretty accurate with the backstory of that. So, and as Justin, you did say, he is an anti-hero. And that's why I think this Tom Hardy casting is perfect, because he's... Nobody grunts and mutters great lines better than Tom Hardy.
I know.
Like his Bane role in
Mad Max too.
In the dark, that one. I don't know, what was the British show that Vinny that I might have bugged you on that came on in the beginning of the year on FX? Anybody watch it?
Oh, it was oh my gosh.
I did not watch it.
It has a weird name and I know what it's called.
Again, he is a likable, unlikable person, and I think he's the perfect match to play Venom. So I don't want to go any farther than that, but it's one of these things where I'm looking forward to learning more about it. I guess there was a big Comic-Con in Sao Paulo, Brazil over the weekend, so there is a lot of comic news. They released a logo. I guess initially some people thought there was going to be this was going to be Agent Venom, where he was just going to be a masked guy and not necessarily CGI, but that has been dispelled. And there's a lot of we references because it is Eddie Brock. Vinny, you mentioned that name. That's the guy. And the symbiote is the costume. And they work in tandem together. So there's a we. So I'm very much looking forward to this movie. And as more and more trickles out about it. So it's a favorite enemy. It's my favorite enemy of Spider-Man. And it is one of my favorite actors. So I'm looking forward to following that coming up to November.
Taboo.
I'm 50-50 on it.
Taboo, thank you.
I'm 50-50 on this movie.
How come?
All right. My main gripe, and I've talked myself out of, you know, this earlier this week, is, okay, so the movie is done by Sony Studios, which, for those listening here, Spider-Man is now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe through a deal with Sony and Marvel. This movie, however, will be separate from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So what that means is it is not going to be tied to Spider-Man at all.
Yeah, that's my biggest reservation as well.
I think there will be plenty of references where you'll get it. And also, I think there have been some very good movies made, and I forget who the director and producer of this movie is. I think...
What are you, homework?
I think producers have gotten better at working around some of these, and I don't think Tom Hardy takes roles, like Mad Max being one of them, the award-winning movie from a couple of years ago. I don't think Tom Hardy gets involved in movies where they cut corners or forget about details. I think they will be careful and delicate of the Spider-Verse that he will exist in.
I agree.
That is maybe, that's where the other side of the coin comes in for me. Like, all right, I hate the idea they're doing a Venom movie that is not tied to Spider-Man at all, because the character itself is literally birthed from Spider-Man.
Right.
You know?
No, I get it. I have reservations as well, but... You know, again, maybe I have my Tom Hardy blinders on here, and I don't think he's gonna take a lousy project. He's never one to like just collect a paycheck.
Yeah, that's why I'll give it a chance, because the people working on this, not just Tom Hardy, but the director and writer of this is I'm probably gonna butcher this name, Ruben Fleischer.
Mm-hmm.
He did Zombieland.
I love that movie.
So there's some good people working on this, and that's probably the only thing that's going to keep me in that theater. Plus, if you read Venom lately, he's not really as tied to Spider-Man as much. Like, just made Venom.
Is this the Agent Venom stuff where he looks like a guy from, like, an ABC action show?
recently, Venom, he's actually been on the Guardians of the Galaxy, and it hasn't been Eddie Brock.
Okay.
It's been Flash Thompson.
Okay,
yeah.
And so, you know, he's been on that series, and there's, like, barely, I don't think there's ever any mention of Spider-Man on there. It's just Flash Thompson in this version of Guardians of the Galaxy. He is a soldier who lost his legs in the war, and so the symbiote tied to Flash Thompson give him legs and make him Agent Venom.
Okay.
And I thought that was a great take on it, actually, and it's not tied to Spider-Man at all. So.
And I'm sure some of, at least like the ethos of those will be incorporated into this movie, because it's going to need some help to be propped up.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, so this kind of helps us segue into the next segment of the show, which is all these universes coming together. Like, one big thing is this movie, and there's been a lot of... I was thinking we'd talk a little bit of Game of Thrones here. But, God, why can't I remember her name now? What's Sansa's name? The
Nancy?
Actress?
Or are you
Game of Thrones. The redheaded girl, Sansa.
Oh,
Sophie Turner.
Yeah, who's playing Jean Grey.
Thank you, Vinny. there's been a lot of X-Men news. Sophie Turner said, we're not doing any... Game of Thrones is not coming out the next season to finish this thing up till 2019, which was a surprise to all of us, even though they all might be feature length. But there's been a lot of X-Men news, and one person pointed out, by the time that movie, this Dark Phoenix X-Men movie, comes out sometime next year, it might not matter. Same thing with Venom. It might not matter because Disney wants to buy just about every single Fox property, except for, I think, the news, Fox News, and some other things.
Yeah.
Which means all these properties that Marvel sold to Fox many, many years ago, the biggest one being everything under the X-Men universe, which is why they can't say the word mutant in Marvel, in MCU movies right now, because Fox owns that word. So what did they call Quicksilver? And they call them, like, special people?
Gifted.
Well, they're gifted, and then there's the whole inhuman side of it all, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Marvel can't use the word mutant, but for $60 billion, Disney's going to buy all things Fox. And for the sake of this podcast, we'll talk about what that could mean for bringing these universes together. Like, I know a lot of people are excited for certain things. Justin?
Yeah, so actually, if I could kind of go back a little bit. So it is, I mean... You know, as like a nerd person who loves all this superhero stuff, it is kind of like really exciting that, like, oh my gosh, like, could the Fantastic Four, like, finally meet Iron Man? Like, but at the same time, it's just so scary. And I know we could probably talk about this a little later too, but the fact that, like, I mean, originally there was like these six, you know, huge corporations, and that's how kind of culture has been run over the last couple decades. But now we just have Disney, who just keeps eating up all of them. And it's kind of scary in a way that, like, it's almost like leading to a way that, like, all entertainment is just going to come from, like, one source. And so it's like they kind of just can shift however they want you to feel and how they want the culture to feel. So it's scary in that sense, but then it also is kind of nerve-wracking too, because you get, you know, Fox, who put out Deadpool and Logan and now the New Mutants stuff, and it's all this really cool, like, taking things in a different direction. And even though Marvel says, like, oh, this is a heist movie, or oh, this is like a buddy comedy, or like, really at the end of the day, they're all kind of the same Marvel superhero.
You jumped ahead and got
sorry
to
about
where,
that.
No, you're fine. You jumped ahead to where I wanted to get to, because I have, at first, the one thing that people seem to be most excited about was, yes, we're finally going to get Avengers and X-Men on the same movie screen. And it might happen. Like, it seems like Hugh Jackman, and maybe it's just to promote the show,
The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman. Yeah. This, which is what P.T. Barnum stuff.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's a musical.
Yeah.
He's got this movie coming out, and he's hung up his Logan claws. Maybe he's just saying he's thinking about it with this merger happening to drum up.
He's done.
Okay. I mean,
again, that was in the news the last couple of days, that Logan is a swan song. He is not putting the claws back on.
He could
ever again.
Sometime down the line, he could come back literally as old man Logan in this shared universe. But I'll say what Justin was getting at, and then Vinny, you can hop in with your thoughts of Disney buying all this stuff, because I know you have an idea of where you think all their properties will land. I think monopolies are always bad, and if Disney buys all this stuff, Justin, I think you're right. Does that mean we're going to have like everything is going to have the same tone? Because in a sense, like, Fox got off their ass and they're like, we're doing this Deadpool movie, and it was different from anything else. And that's what made it so successful. So if Disney makes all these movies, will they make directors submit to the Marvel tone, or will they allow people to be creative? Because I know that ran off the guy who initially wanted to do Ant-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Edgar Wright, who is obviously, like, if you see any of his movies, he's
quirky.
Clearly, he's an auteur too. Yeah. Like, I mean, he is, like, his movies are his movies, and you can tell they're no one else. But then, like, there's even parts of Ant-Man that you're like, yeah, this is an Edgar Wright movie that they just cut him out of.
And if everything is under the Marvel umbrella, somebody else pointed out, I read the other day, does that mean we're no more R-rated comic book movies, which has been so successful? And granted, they made the right choices with Deadpool and Logan.
Yeah.
And there are other heroes. Moon Knight! You can do that. I'm going to do a Moon Knight drop in every podcast we do. But not having buying up the competition is often bad, because it doesn't allow for growth and outside-the-box thinkers. Vinny?
No, I'm with Justin on this. I mean, from a real-world standpoint, yeah, the idea of mergers and having less competition among these companies definitely is scary, period, you know, in the entertainment world or any other business. You know, I mean, at this point, like, Disney's going to own Marvel, the X-Men universe. They have Pixar, Star Wars.
The whole Alien franchise, like the whole Avatar franchise.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I read that one third of anybody who makes a movie will be under Disney at this point. And not to mention, like, ESPN and ABC and so much more.
Well, and then the other conversation I've heard, because obviously, like, they'd be kind of dumb to wait if this does really go through. They'd be kind of dumb to be like, well, let's make Deadpool like PG-13 and like mix them in, because it's not
ridiculous.
That's besides the point, and they even know that they're not going to make money. So somebody, I don't know where I was reading this at, but somebody had brought up the fact that like Disney in the 90s had created like three other small studio entities that didn't say Disney on them, and said, you know, I think like Touchstone was one of them. They did like a lot of TV, and that was kind of their way of making movies that maybe don't have the Disney cutesy like PG-13 brand to them, that they could still make and still make money off of it. But, you know, your average person isn't going to be like, I'm taking my kid to a Disney movie. It's called Deadpool 3. Like,
right. And somebody else,
I know a lot of people took their kids to see Deadpool.
Well, that's true too.
I mean, I hope that's what happens. They create like other movie houses, or and it depends on the properties too, and where these things grow from. because when you do like PG-13 and up movies, as I read the other day, you don't sell as many toys, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see how the world changes, because mm-hmm. I would think every kid knows about Deadpool now when they mm-hmm. didn't a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, but again, it concerns me that when you buy up the competition, which pushed boundaries, that becomes problematic. So I hope that all the different tones and types of movies are kept. But again, one behemoth owning so much is bad for any business.
Yeah.
One thing I hope that happens of this, all right, let's say, all right, so Warner Brothers has all of DC. Disney's going to have every Marvel property. What I hope this means is some other studio steps in. I don't know what studio's going to be left after this, but like Paramount or whatever. It steps in and makes a deal with, like, Image Comics, Dark Horse. Get some more indie comics to be adapted.
It's
so
possible.
Maybe that could be a side effect of it.
Yeah, that could be where the growth comes from. And I don't know these things, but I know you do, and you tell me about these things all the time. Maybe that's where, you know, the superhero genre or supervillain genre is successful, but then somebody else decides to grow startups. Mm-hmm.
Right.
For lack of a better term. All this has to be somewhere. There's been some talk that Disney's going to yank all their stuff off of Netflix in the next couple of years as they create their own kind of Disney Netflix or whatever you want to call it. And you have an idea of where you think it's all going to be.
Yeah, I think it's all going to end up at Hulu. I mean, there's already yep. talks about it because they own ABC, and if they buy Fox, which also has a large percentage stake in Hulu, then they'll be the majority owner of it. It hopefully makes more sense for them to just, instead of trying to come up with their own format program, just use Hulu.
And I can see how this could work out in a pricing model, too. What does Hulu cost per month?
$8.
Yeah.
$8,
$9. Okay. There's a commercial-free version, too. It's like $12 or something like that.
So you pay for either of those. But if you want the Disney model, now it's, and there'll be different tiers, but if you want all the Disney mm-hmm. stuff, it'll be $30 a month. Yeah. It will be costly, I think, for all the properties that they're buying up and having to pay for just about all content these days, which is right to a degree. Not, I wish more things were free, but it seems like we get nickel and dimed on our debit cards and then we forget about things. Mm-hmm. But I would expect whatever Disney creates with all this content they have, it will be very expensive.
I think it'd be closer to 15. That's like the price point of HBO Now. So I think that seems about comparable. Maybe no more than $20. How about that?
Okay. I mean, it's going to have a lot more content than HBO. I mean, you're talking years of content, decades, mm-hmm. classics. And again, they could essentially, in the same way that when you flip on cable, and I think none of us have cable anymore.
No.
If you want to watch, no. If you want drama, you turn on TNT. If you want news, you go to CNN. You've got all these on your cable. There will be like Disney cable. Like if you want network stuff, you get that. If you want sports, you go to mm-hmm. that. If you want like Marvel stuff, you go to this. If you want kids Marvel, it could be like literally its own cable empire. Mm-hmm. So I could see why $15. If you sign me up for all things Disney, $15 right now, take my money.
Yeah, I would do it. If you're going to put a majority of Pixar and all the Marvel stuff on there.
For $15?
Heck yeah.
All right, let's step on to the next thing, the big thing, and yet another Disney property. This was a costly investment a couple of years ago, and why there will be another trilogy after this one. The talk lately has been that this Obi-Wan prequel, yep. what he did from Ewan McGregor to Alec Guinness, there's going to be that.
Apparently, he sat around in a cave for 30 years. That's all he did.
Hey, baby, what was that town that they went to with all the hood people?
Oh,
and the crime?
Oh,
and Star Wars? Well, on Tatooine?
Was on Tatooine, Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
Hey, lady, you want to come back? Want to get away from this grimy place? We'll go hang out in my cave. I'll show you my lightsaber. And I really do need my lightsaber.
To be honest, though, I think it really would be kind of an interesting movie if they had done it. I've heard rumors that it could be done in the style of like an old like a Dirty Harry, not Dirty Harry, like a John Wayne
Western movie,
like
yeah.
where he kind of is, you know, the man with no name, where he kind of fades into a town. And I mean, if you think about it, he, for all he knows, is the last Jedi. He has lost contact with everyone. His best friend, he literally thinks he just killed, who's Anakin, and eventually finds out that he's now Darth Vader.
It could be a mental health movie.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
it's like the Great Depression.
What's going to happen is
well,
going to be
hold
Obi-Wan.
Hold on. I don't want Obi-Wan prequel stuff. We got so much to talk about with Star Wars. I was simply saying that none of us have kids, but if we ever get around to that, our great-great-grandkids will still be talking about Star Wars. Yep. This just goes to show you that Disney and its Star Wars empire will go on forever. The Last Jedi comes out December 15th, tomorrow night, I guess. You two are bigger Star Wars fans than I am, so I'll let you go. I'm more Star Trek. Like, I nitpick Star Trek stuff and, like, Star Trek Discovery, but Colors of Lightsabers and all this family drama in this thing, I just try to enjoy it. I know you guys get after it. So, Justin, Last Jedi.
So, I'm seeing it tomorrow at 9:30, and, well, you're going to be hearing this probably on Saturday, so I'm seeing this on Thursday
night. I'll post this tonight. This
okay.
Is tonight.
Okay.
So, there can't be any spoilers here because nobody's seen it
yet.
Yeah.
So, I'm really excited. I've tried really hard to avoid as much as I can. I think I've watched the main trailers, but
they've hidden it well.
They have, and they're doing a lot of misleading cuts and edits in the trailers. It's really fun to kind of get in arguments with people, especially on the internet. That's what it's for. Who they're like, wow, I can't believe they're showing in the trailer that Kylo Ren and Rey are going to join sides. And then I'm like, you all realize at the very end of the trailer, Luke literally looks at the camera and says, this isn't going to go the way you think it's going to go.
And also, like, not only are they, like, they editing different pieces of video together, it also might not be chronological.
No.
And have you guys seen they've been running like a don't spoil it campaign as well?
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
I love those.
Which I think is really
Vinny,
cool.
Vinny, your initial thoughts as Star Wars The Last Jedi gets ready to roll out? That's good stuff right there.
I know. I'm excited. I'm not going to go see it tomorrow, unfortunately, because I have a work function, so I'm not going to make it. I'm probably going to take Friday off work to go see it in the afternoon.
That's commitment.
I can't wait, but I'm trying to keep my expectations in check. Just because they've burned me before in the past. And I'm going to say this. Justin, I'll let you want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
I hated The Force Awakens. This is my least favorite Star Wars movie ever.
Those are fighting words, really, because it's like my
favorite. My least favorite. It is below the Star Wars Christmas special as in my Star Wars. Below.
Okay, it's not that bad. You have to admit that at least we got Rey and Finn and Poe out of it, and at the end of the day, they're pretty awesome.
All right, so to get to this, and for a little bit of backstory in the numbers as well, Rogue One, which came out last year, a Star Wars story,
which I loved,
made $155 million, and I believe Force Awakens made $240 something 2 years ago. Well, so we'll see where the box office lands for this thing, where we are in the plot of things. Han Solo's dead. I'm pretty certain he's like totally dead.
Yeah,
unless there's
done.
I mean, he's not even in the previews. That's not even a spoiler. Anymore. 2 years old now. I think we're good.
He's dead. The First Order, which is the new empire, is led by Kylo Ren and is
General Hux,
General,
and Captain Phasma, and
Snoke.
They are looking to rebound in an Empire Strikes Back kind of we're taking down Hoth style offensive.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some kind of dark side turn. There could be a homosexual connection between two favorite characters, which I just learned about the other day.
Oh,
Vinny, do you
dream.
Know about that?
I do not. Enlighten me.
Apparently, Poe and Finn have a big man crush and are going to discover themselves.
I'm all about it.
Wait, hold on. Poe, played by Oscar Isaac. Isn't he also one of your man crushes?
Not physically. I just really appreciate his work.
I love Oscar.
Okay, so he's also your man crush.
Right. Like I am physically attracted to Tom Hardy and Ryan Reynolds, but this is more like I really appreciate his talent. But yeah, because they had some kind of hug when they realized one another was alive at the end of Force Awakens.
And he lets Finn keep his jacket.
Right.
Just like me leaving my hoodie at a girl's place.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Which on the internet they say, Poe says, "Oh yeah, you can keep the jacket. Do you know what it's made out of?" And Finn doesn't say anything, and he whispers to Finn, says, "Boyfriend material."
Do you guys expect Vinny? Do you expect any, as Justin alluded to with all the trailers that have been out, and this is obvious. First of all, this is one fucked up family. Like, the only place you can see this shit, because somehow, some way, when this is all over, we're going to find out who is related to who and all that stuff. And, you know, we were teased with Rey's parentage in the last movie. The only place you can see this shit is on Maury Povich. Let's just do DNA tests and get it over with. But do you expect a dark side turn, Vinny, in this movie?
No, I do not.
The rumors have been Rey, Luke, based on some of the dialogue in the trailers. Justin, do you expect a dark side turn?
I don't know if I expect a dark side turn. I think if we could take the name of the movie kind of a little bit more literal. So if we're going to say it's called The Last Jedi, we know that Luke technically is the last Jedi because that's what they said in the title crawl of The Force Awakens is he is the last Jedi. So I think what we're going to find out is he's going to try to train Rey, and he's going to be afraid of like the power she possesses, and that's going to kind of chase him away from wanting to do it because he's been burned by Kylo and
Anakin burned and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to have his
be
reservations.
Be a better teacher.
Yeah.
Really? For real.
But I think also there's they keep showing this this shot of Rey reaching out for some books, and it looks like they're on the island where Luke and her are at the end of The Force Awakens, and I think she is going to come to the conclusion that there really shouldn't be a dark side and a light side, and I think they're gonna figure out that there is a gray area within the Force that her and Kylo can kind of, you know, maybe
it's all
meet.
Just the Force.
Yeah,
like we're not black or white. We're all human beings.
Exactly.
We're all Americans. Vinny, are there any theories that you have?
None. Like, this is really bad ones that will make you really mad.
All right, let me give you a couple of these. This is from, is it comic book? CBR is comic book resource?
Yeah.
All right, first one. Luke dies.
No. That's not going to happen.
All right, next one. Luke, Rey, and Kylo form a new Force Order, kind of in the vein of what you mentioned, Justin.
I don't know if Luke will be involved with that, but I think it could happen.
Seems plausible.
This next one is Benicio Del Toro's character. Who is Duquesne?
I don't know. I didn't know he was in the movie.
All right. Kylo Ren loses a hand.
Okay, so when I said I had theories that would make me mad, okay, so I hated The Force Awakens because it is just a remake of A New Hope. If anyone loses a hand, I'm going to throw my popcorn at the screen. If we find out that Rey and Kylo Ren are twins, separated at birth, I'm throwing my popcorn at the screen. If we find out that Kylo is
all right, I'm going to go through the rest of these because you're right. Force Awakens, part of the reason I think it was so beloved, it was like Control V and then, you know, paste.
Yeah, especially the last 45 minutes or so.
Next, Rey is descendant of Obi-Wan.
No.
You know what? I don't think that one's not that far-fetched.
Rey is a clone of Luke.
I don't know how that would work, but
all right. Poe,
they don't look nothing alike.
Poe is Han and Leia's other son, which would make him Kylo's brother.
No, they
once again have, that happens. I'm throwing my popcorn.
They already have extended the comic books and stuff that are a part of the universe now. Already have Poe's parents, so
okay. So stuff that's after Force Awakens, comic book wise, is canon, but stuff leading up to it that people really wanted is not.
There's all the comic books that have been made since Disney bought Star Wars and all the books and everything are canon now. So.
All right. Kylo and Rey are siblings.
No.
Really?
Please don't. Please don't.
I'm going to be so
mad if they are. I'm going to get up and throw. I'm going to get a beer and throw it at the screen if that happens. I'm going to get kicked out of the theater this weekend.
Rey goes to the dark side, but not really. And the explanation is she goes to infiltrate to undermine the dark side and beat Snoke.
I could see that.
She can't do that because once you go dark, you can't go back.
Luke did it, though.
Snoke is Anakin's father because he was born immaculately, right? Oh. Right?
That's interesting.
Who knocked up Shmi?
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Who do you guys, and I have three more to get to it. Justin, who do you think Snoke is? Is he just Snoke? Is he the Emperor?
I think he's just a new person.
Vinny?
Same. I think it's just a new person. Because if he was related to Anakin or anyone else, where was he during the original trilogy? Yeah. Oh, that's right. George Lucas is making it up all the way. Making everything up as he goes.
Snoke is not Palpatine, right? We're not going with that?
I don't think so.
No, yeah, no.
My computer's being slow here. But Snoke is training Kylo to take over his body. Oh. That would be like plausible. Grand finale shit.
Yeah.
That's plausible.
That's interesting.
I'll be on board. I won't throw my popcorn if that happens.
I know there is some sort of a twist coming with this, and like they, again, they said in the trailers, we don't know what's going to happen.
Put your money where your mouth is, Justin. Throw down the gamble. Throw down the bet. What's the twist going to be in this movie? Where's the oh fuck moment?
I don't know. I feel like I said, there could be a Rey kind of turning to the dark side, whether it be an infiltration type of thing or meeting in the middle ground. I don't know, because I know it's so tough. There could be a lot of different things that could happen. I really don't. I have no expectations on what the twist could be.
Vinny, what? Put your money down. What's something you believe will happen? Give me the oh fuck moment you predict.
You know what? I don't think there is going to be one. Rian Johnson, I've read in interviews with him that he's keeping the plot pretty tight-knit, and I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to be, like, world-shattering, you know? So I think just telling a good story is going to be good enough for me. I don't think we need twists to tell that, and anything's going to happen. Rey's going to be Luke's son, or daughter, I'm like.
There will be something, because we all left the theater of The Force Awakens, and granted, that was J.J. Abrams, and this is Rian Johnson, as you mentioned, Vinny. We all left going, who's her dad?
Yeah.
Is she related to Kylo? And look, one way or another, even just reading those cockamamie theories, everybody's related somehow.
Yeah.
They can retcon this some way because they've got so much lore to play with, and they can invent characters, and there's so many like important ancillary characters like Maz Kanata.
I love her.
she is a great character. Maybe Captain Phasma is Finn's dad or adopted older sister. I don't know. I don't know. Something we will leave going, well, now we got to wait 2 years
to figure out the answer to that question.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
because that's what they did with Empire. They left everyone. Wait, Han's frozen and Luke is father. Is it what?
And that was before the internet, where you knew that there was like another movie coming out.
Yeah,
Vinny.
I think the twist is going to be that there's not going to be a twist because everyone's expecting twist surprises. I think that's going to be it. Who's seen Rian Johnson's movies? I know the big one for me was Looper.
Oh yeah,
great time travel movie.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to see Brick, but I never got around to it. But Looper is a big one.
I know what it's going to be. You're welcome.
Okay.
In the theme, carrying it like the godfather now of Star Wars is J.J. Abrams. I know he's passed it off. But we will get to the end of the next movie. It will all come back to it was all a holographic dream of R2-D2 as an ode to Lost.
I will throw my popcorn.
No, that's not going to happen.
No, no.
I'm going to throw my popcorn at the screen if that happens.
Well, and there's also rumors that 9 might not be the last one people, though.
Yeah.
So, because we already know they're getting a whole separate trilogy that Rian Johnson is leading up. Plus, we're getting all the story, side story and movies. But I don't know if they're going to just end on 9 with Rey and Finn and Poe, or if they're going to, like...
I think they'll continue with them.
Daisy Ridley's done. She said she's done. She's only doing one more Star Wars movie, and then she's done with the trilogy.
Then they'll write
she's done with
check.
The series.
Yeah.
Look,
until Disney drops that dump truck of money.
This is my Robert Downey Jr. gauntlet from a couple of weeks ago. Disney will write the check. And I like her more than the female lead in Rogue One.
Oh, I remember her name is Jyn Erso, and she is played by...
That actress.
Yeah. Wow, I can't believe I'm blaming her.
Here's what I'll throw down. I'll put my money on. Luke dies, but not really. And I'm not talking like, strike me down and I become more powerful. Like, I think he will die and something, but no. My other thing will be is, first of all, I can't wait for emo Kylo Ren to get active again on Twitter, because he was... That was my biggest criticism of The Force Awakens. Like, he was confused. He was a confused person half his age.
Yeah, and I liked it, though. It was different, you know?
It was very un-Star Wars-like.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, petulant Luke from A New Hope. It was like
oh, I don't want to be on the blue milk farm anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this was you know, we need to get you back into an appointment. You know that, right? You know, are you off your medication again? Like, he was just very troubled and conflicted. I think something big will happen with him where he will either be like Snoke or Emperor strong, or he's going to give the middle finger to them and come over to the good side of things. And another villain will arise for the end of this trilogy.
Yeah. I could see that happening.
Good theory.
Yeah. He's so mopey. Like, Ray can just be like, look, let's go have some pizza, have a couple of drinks, and we have good people.
Yeah.
Because he looked like he wasn't going to, like, lightsaber his dad.
Yeah.
He was close.
He was close, but he did it. So you almost wonder, like, how far can this person go before it's too far, you know?
Right, and he'll like, completely go off the deep edge.
Yeah.
And he will be bad at it. He'll be, like, the greatest villain ever. Yeah. Because right now, he's not, like, he, I'm like, that's the replacement for Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Like, I would let him babysit all my dogs and kids. He's so nice.
Yeah.
That's not saying much. Real quick, Felicity Jones is the
Yeah, I had to look it up, too. I was like, dang.
All right, to slide over, another mega release that comes out and another sequel, Jurassic World will be out. Fallen Kingdom, there were teasers. There was finally a trailer. Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard is back. And maybe what makes me happiest, forget about the dinosaurs, which made me happy when I was a little boy. But
life finds a way.
Goldblum. We'll be back. Now, I only saw the teaser. I watched the full trailer to get ready for this. And if I'm not mistaken, this is how this screwy thing kind of goes. The island where the dinosaurs, where we last left them, is in some kind of like ecological issue.
A volcano is about to blow up.
And some moralist goes, if that was a dog, you'd save it, so we got to save the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So we got to save the dinosaurs, and somebody has the idea to, like, there's nowhere to put them.
There's Site B from the second movie, which is something totally different.
Right. So they want to save these dinosaurs, and it looks, at least from the trailer, there's a lot more action in this movie.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Like, I didn't really like Lost World, and it's not me being...
Are you Jurassic World or Lost World? The one with Chris Pratt?
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jurassic World.
Really?
I didn't love it. I mean, I thought Chris Pratt would be Chris Prattier.
He was not at his prattiest.
Right.
In
he was a raptor whisperer. Come on, how can you not love
that? And I guess that plays a big role. Blue is all grown up in this one, and he's... I didn't love it. I liked it because it's dinosaurs and stuff, and they created a mutant dinosaur, and I guess there will be another one in this one called, like, a Baryonyxosaurus.
Yeah, something
did I get
like that
right?
I think so.
I'd never heard of it. The happiest point when I saw the trailer was when I saw, like, other dinosaurs that I loved as a kid. A Stegosaurus, which has all the scales on the back, and an Ankylosaurus, which is, like, a little guy. He was all armored and had a ball on his tail that he could swing around and beat the crap out of T-Rexes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was
like,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
My favorite part, as we touched on earlier, is, you know, God's gift to all of us. Jeff Goldblum's back in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on.
It looks like
that
he might only...
For anything.
Oh, sorry. He looks like he might only be in that courtroom scene, but, I mean, they got him, so he's there.
That's enough.
Did they finish shooting that movie?
Yeah.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they go back and add some things after he was so Jeff Goldblum-y in Thor. They're like, we need more.
Oh,
we need more,
Goldblum.
I did read, and it was just a rumor. And again, now that I've seen the trailer, I just want to see all the leaks and pictures and all that stuff. I did read something, and I forget his name, that Sam Neill might be in this one.
I heard that there was possibly a photo of him on set. Whether or not he was just visiting or was actually there to shoot something has yet to be seen. Possibly a lead-in for a part 3, because they are for sure doing a trilogy, considering they made enough money off the first one alone to do as many more as they want.
What I didn't see in this trailer, and it seemed like it was going to be the lead-in to this one, was B.D. Wong's character.
Yeah.
The Asian doctor, who was in the initial trilogy. He was seen doing a heel turn in this, leaving with some kind of chemical in a helicopter.
With a black turtleneck.
Right. And
are we in a Jurassic Park cinematic universe?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seemed like that would be the lead-in for this, but it seems like this island... This is so weird. Like, save the dinosaurs. Like, look, I love them, but, like, they're all clones.
Yeah.
They were all hatched in a lab. They're not anybody's pets.
That's one of the issues with... I mean, I love Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is probably... My favorite movie. Whenever anybody asks me, like, if you had to name number one, what's your favorite movie of all time? It's always Jurassic Park, because in my opinion, it's like the perfect movie. But so that's why I just keep watching this.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. So that's why I keep watching these. But it's the problem that every Jurassic Park will always have is you have to get people back to where the dinosaurs are, when in reality, no one would ever go back. Like,
right.
If it has gone wrong so many times, like, and it's been recorded that it's gone wrong so many times, especially after what happened in Jurassic World, where there's like hundreds of like innocent people who just like died on this theme park island. Like, no, they would let the volcano go. There would be no ragtag team led by Chris Pratt, like, going to save these dinosaurs.
Jeff Goldblum could literally open up his own theme park and call it Not Jurassic Park, and there would be no dinosaurs. There would be nothing there, and you could
animatronic Jeff Goldblum.
Yes,
done.
Yes. Come
I'm
to
in.
Come to Jeff Goldblum World, and we're going to charge you $38 for a beer, and it's going to be
I pay more than that.
$24 for a slice of pizza, but you know what? You're not going to get eaten by a dinosaur. You're right. It just like these are all bad ideas, and I try to love it, but I dialed down my interest for the last one, just because of the bad ideas, and the third one was really lousy. Like. One is great. Two is tolerable. Three is like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Three bad.
Exact opposite. Two is awful.
Two has good moments, though. Two has its most Goldbluminess, and it also has the whole cliff scene, the raptors in the high grass. Like
that was cool.
There's some really good the breaking glass in the trailer. There's some really good Spielberg scenes in that movie, but as a whole.
He had a
gymnastics girl.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
He had a different colored daughter before it was even cool to do that kind of thing.
Very progressive for 1997.
Very progressive. Man. I gotta give him that.
Chocolate. But
96.
Much like I love like Batman and Transformers now, and I always love that stuff. I loved dinosaurs as a kid. Like that's what my go to was for any gift, or it's what I like. Some kids play with cars. I played with dinosaurs and had this rubber mat, which probably kids can't have now because you could choke on it back then, and dinosaurs. And when the first one came out, like it was like the pinnacle of my life, seeing all these things I loved on the screen. They did such a great job. And now it's just like, you're right, Justin. Nobody would ever go to this place.
No.
So that's why they have to bring the we got to save the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some ethical campaign, like not like Black Lives Matter, but like dinosaurs lives matter.
Something that they try to tie it in.
Right, got to get them off the island. Got to get them off the island. We'll put them in a safe place somewhere in the Arizona desert. They can live there.
Yeah.
And then they'll be in New York City.
Yeah, or in the second one, I mean, the T-Rex gets loose in the city too.
Right.
It's like, and it's just so interesting because, you know, the first movie and the book, which I also read that twice too, they have that same ethical debate, and they say in the movie, you know, you had this science where you figured out that you could, but you never, or where you knew that you would, but you never thought if you should, you know? And that's been the debate for like every one of the movies. And it's like, it works really well once, but then after that point, like you need a different theme or a different message that I think can hold the movie together. That stems from that idea, but kind of does something different with it. And it seems like with this one, we're doing the exact same thing where we're going to this island to save these dinosaurs. Should we? Well, we could, so maybe we should.
I have a great idea. I am going to undermine this movie right here, right now. And I will
go for it.
I will split the T-Rex instead of split the baby. The carnivores can die in the volcano. We will take the plant eaters, the brontosauruses, and all the other nice dinosaurs. To Toledo.
But the T-Rex is the coolest one. You can't let him die.
Not only are we making dinosaur islands where people are not safe, we're making them, like in the last one, bigger, badder. And what's bigger and badder than a T-Rex? A super T-Rex.
Yeah, an Indominus. More teeth.
What? This is a bad idea.
Yeah. Another big thing I had with this trailer, and I keep seeing people post about it on Twitter, is, so like you said, Eric, what's the best part about a Jurassic Park movie, especially if you're a kid? Dinosaurs,
right?
Like, you love dinosaurs, like you just want to see them. And so in this new trailer for the second movie, there's literally a sequence where there's pyroclastic flow from a volcano coming down an island, and all of these plant-eating dinosaurs are jumping off cliffs and, like, falling in water. And there's, like, what's the one that you just talked about with the big, with,
Stegosaurus?
No, the other one.
The ankylosaurus?
The ankylosaurus.
Yeah, he's, like, falling off the cliff.
Yeah, and he's, so like, sad. And he's, like, upside down. And somebody I saw on Twitter pointed out that most ankylosaurus fossils that have been found in real life are always on their backs, because if they ever get turned over, they literally can't do anything. So you're showing a video of them falling in water where you're basically advertising, come to this movie because a lot of dinosaurs are going to die.
You bring up another point. Much like I didn't need any people in Transformers movies,
yeah,
I don't need any people in this movie.
Just fodder. Just like, fodder.
You can
we
even
need Jeff Goldblum, Chris Pratt. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, it can be like the dinosaurs TV show. Do you remember that, Justin? Are you too young?
I do remember that. Gotta love me.
All right, you mentioned reading books. Last thing, Ready Player One. This is like a big Steven Spielberg thing, I think.
Yes.
Okay, explain.
So, like, do you want me to explain what Ready
Player One is? Oh, yeah, because I don't know any of the stuff.
Vinny, do you
know
any
I've never
of
read
this?
The book.
Okay.
I've only seen the trailer. I looked up a quick synopsis on it, and I don't know anything else.
Yeah, so the book is basically takes place in, I think, 2040-something. It's in the future where, of course, like, everyone's living on top of each other. There's poverty. Corporations have taken over. All that kind of stuff.
That's like this year.
Yeah, pretty much.
So 2046,
exactly.
Columbus, Ohio.
So what happened is a guy, basically kind of like a Google-esque or like a Steve Jobs type character, created a virtual reality world called the Oasis that everyone can kind of live in, and you can actually work in that world and you make actual money. It's kind of like a Bitcoin kind of thing before Bitcoins. And basically everyone goes to school using the Oasis, everyone goes to work using it, and kind of real life has just been you live somewhere because it's somewhere to like shelter your body, but really you have this visor on almost 24/7. So, but what happens is the guy who created the Oasis, as he's about to, well, he dies and he leaves a like a video message telling everyone that he hid a bunch of Easter eggs in his world, in his game, and the first person to find it and beat everyone else basically can get control of his entire company and wins, like...
Oh, it's like Willy Wonka.
It is literally... The review on the back of the book, it says, Willy Wonka meets the Matrix.
I was just going
to
say that. Yeah.
But the big thing that's with it that everyone was like, Steven Spielberg has to do this movie, is the guy who created the Oasis grew up in the 80s. And so everything he makes in the Oasis that has to do with the games is about 80s culture. And so even though this movie takes place in, or the book takes place in like 2049 or whatever, everyone is super into 80s culture because they all know that he was. And so they all know that it's going to help them in the long run. So it's an excuse for the main character to have a DeLorean. It's, you know.
And bad music.
So the trailers themselves awesome so far have not
Shut
been.
Shut up!
The trailers so far have not been that great, but I'm still going to go because the book is really good.
Every time I see a movie like this, I don't run away from it, but I don't go out of my way. I don't think I've ever seen any of these. The two that jump to mind, and they all seem the same to me. Ender's Game.
I'm just going to say that.
Different.
And what's the one with Jeff Daniels where they were partly in black and white? They were part, and there was another, like, Meryl Streep actress or Glenn Close.
Pleasantville? No, it's the book.
Yeah, also another
book.
Oh,
The Giver.
The Giver, yeah.
They all look the same to me.
Yeah, no, I think this is a
I'm
little...
sure they're different.
Yeah.
But they all look the same.
Yeah, I'm just mainly excited with the whole, like, Steven Spielberg doing a blockbuster movie again. I love his new stuff, like, you know, Lincoln and Bridge of Spies.
The Post,
which I really want to see, like... I think he's really hit a good stride with like these dramas that he's done lately, but I kind of want to see if he can do like one more.
Right. And that's how I became familiar with this, because I didn't know any of the backstory. All I know is that like the sites I would go to were talking about like this is tailor-made for Steven Spielberg to do one last like mega Spielbergian film.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this movie looks awful.
Yeah, the trailers look really bad, and I'm not really excited about it. But
yeah,
after all that,
I just picture like opening day. I'm just gonna be there, like in the middle of the theater by myself, big jug of popcorn, my 3D glasses on. I'm gonna be so happy, and then I'm gonna be so disappointed.
Maybe a dinosaur will come eat you while you're watching.
Maybe if I'm lucky.
I'm not gonna doubt that the book is probably good. Yeah. But with like something like this, where there's so many visuals and so many pop culture references, and it's essentially inside a virtual world.
Yeah.
I think this kind of story lends itself better to a novel where you can let your imagination run wild, whereas a film, I mean, every trailer I watch, I'm like, this looks like a video game. Well, why doesn't my controller work?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a fan of movies like that, and, you know, as Eric will tell you, I hate the Transformers movies. I just...
Those are bold words to say.
The last one.
I just hate these CGI fests. And to go on those previously loved novels, like Ender's Game's been a cult classic since, like, what, early 80s when that came out?
Yeah.
The Giver.
Same
and those
thing.
Tanked
they did.
In the box office. You know? And Steven Spielberg is not having that great of a record. I mean, sure, he's still making good films, but the BFG
that was
tanked
a
at the box
flop,
office.
Yeah.
What's BFG?
Big Friendly Giant. The big fucking giant.
Based on an old Roald Dahl novel.
Yep,
right. The Willy Wonka author.
Exactly.
I didn't
ever
put that together.
Yeah. Huh. As we wrap up here, two other things just to throw out there quickly, and if you guys have, like, tidbits you want to share of news or notes or whatever, Punisher, no surprise, season 2, greenlit. Bring back Jigsaw.
Yep.
And Jessica Jones season 2, I believe the date is March 18th on Netflix.
I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what they do. That first season was so good.
I rewatched it a second time, and I liked it a lot more.
It's mostly
Jessica
because,
Jones or Punisher?
I love Punisher, but I rewatched Jessica Jones a second time, and I liked it more. Because the first time through, I was so grabbed by David Tennant.
Yeah.
And then I got into the other characters a little bit more through the second time around. And I guess he will be back, through no surprise at all, he will be in this second season, but I guess they will be flashbacks because he's dead.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the show can stand on its own without him because he was such a large part of that first season. It was so good. That show was, like, scary at times because of him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering how they can kind of top that.
The buzz about it when it came out, there was a great feminist movement behind it, powerful women and a woman who was, like, mentally and physically abused. And I wasn't buying that narrative because it's like, I've watched SVU for decades now. Like, I see this shit every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, you're an expert on that.
Right. Like, I don't do it, but I've seen plenty of this stuff on SVU. And I was like, there's no capes.
Yeah.
And there's no superpowers. She jumped once and beat the crap out of Luke. And that was it. Give me more Luke Cage. So, anything you guys want to share before we wrap up? Vinny?
No. I'm really excited for Jessica Jones, too. And to kind of piggyback on that, I was actually a fan of the original comics. And one thing they did was mesmerizing with the comic and eventually the show is David Tennant's character, Kilgrave, Purple Man in the
Purple
comics.
Man.
He was just a cheesy-ass villain in the Marvel Comics lore. But when Michael Bendis launched Alias, the comic that Jessica Jones is based off of, he's like, you know what? He could use his power for really creepy stuff. So we turned him into like this serial rapist. Mm-hmm. And it just made it, you know, very fascinating. And the whole... rape victimizing thing. Punisher season 2, loved it. Loved season 1. It is actually my favorite of the Netflix Marvel shows, so I'm glad to hear they're going back to it. I mean, no shock there.
Yeah. Jon Bernthal is just so great. He's really
Shane.
Good. Yeah. Shane. That's I'll always know him as that.
Like,
he's Frank now. He's Frank now.
I saw him first in Daredevil season 2, and then I started watching Walking Dead. I'm like, oh, and then he became Shane moving forward because it's the same. I feel bad, and he's in like a lot of indie movies that I see when I scroll through the PlayStation store.
Yeah.
And he plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah,
and like I'm disappointed because he's so talented. I'd like to see if he has a larger scope than that.
Yeah,
I'm not talking like romantic comedies, but he is every movie he does, and maybe it's just because he. Do what you're good at.
Yeah.
If you're Steph Curry, step back and hit threes.
Yeah.
If you're Jon Bernthal, pick up a weapon and kill people.
Yeah.
I just watched a great movie with him at the other night called Wind River.
I was just about to say.
What's that one?
That's Jeremy Renner, Elizabeth Olsen, where they're on the Wind River Indian Reservation and like a girl's body turns up and they have to kind of figure out how it got in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of winter kind of a thing.
Did he kill people?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Well, Jon Bernthal's kind of like a surprise cameo in the movie. Yeah, he kind of pops up.
I watched another thing with him two months ago, where it's in the time of the Crusades, and he finds this priest-type person.
Isn't Tom Holland in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not all in English.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he
Read?
It's like Shane in the Crusades. He kills everybody and gets the priest to where he needs to be. Last thing, I watched Brawl in Cell 99 last night.
I have not seen it, but I have heard it's kind of awesome.
It's really good. Like, I don't like Vince Vaughn, but watching this, I was able to get through that dislike of him and enjoy the movie.
Yeah. I've heard one of the movie podcasts that I listen to, one of the guys who's, like, super professional, like, prim, only likes, you know, like, the Oscar nominee. That's, like, his favorite movie of the year. And I'm like, is it really that good? And I want to kind of check it out. Where'd you watch it at?
I bought it. I bought it on the PS4. Oh, okay. That's usually how I find all these, like, off-the-beaten-path movies.
I wasn't sure if it was on Netflix or anything.
No. Yeah. It's good. It's a little long, but it's not like, let's get this over with. It ends at just the right moment. It's a very good movie. And there's a surprise cameo from a Miami Vice veteran.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, is that it? What?
Don Johnson. Don Johnson?
Really? He looked good for him.
Speaking of Don Johnson and kind of going in with, he was in, well, Django, which is Quentin Tarantino. I'm surprised we have not talked about that.
I don't want to hear it. That's heresy. I would put a phaser in my mouth before I see this. Not.
I thought you were going to bring it up because I know how much you love Star Trek. So I really thought
Quentin Tarantino has been tabbed to be the director of the next Star Trek movie.
Well, I don't know if director. He's somehow involved.
And it's going to be R-rated.
And it's like J.J. Abrams is on board too with it. I don't
put me in the transporter and send my molecules into a bazillion pieces.
I hope it's like 100% Tarantino, curse words, everything, so vulgar. I hope so.
No, is it because you don't like Tarantino or you just don't want him messing with Star Trek?
I'm not a big Tarantino fan. Like, I've never seen any of his movies, but I know what he's famous for.
You've never even seen Kill Bill?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Pulp Fiction?
Never saw Pulp Fiction.
You got to watch.
But his tone of movies does not fit the universe of Star Trek.
How would you know? You've never seen his movies.
Exactly.
I know. Because they're so much a part of pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, comical, insane violence, like, total esoterica. That's not Star Trek. It was enough for me to try to digest the progression and growth in Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, that was like warp 3 from what I'm used to. Quentin Tarantino is like interdimensional. No. We got to wrap up. We're at an hour.
Yeah.
All right. Justin Camuso from the arts community of Toledo. Vinny Chase from all over downtown Columbus. We'll do this again soon. Okay, guys?
All right. Thanks.
All right.
All right, Vinny. Goodbye. The morning after on Q1055.com. We're happy to have you here and listening to this podcast. We will do this Nerdcast with a better name soon. Bye.